the interaction with coaches and athletes, the interaction with athletes with each other, and seeing if I can find examples of beauty. I've even asked a couple athletes on a dead ball, hey, 12, are you a Christian? And they kind of look at me and they're like, why? And I said, because your behavior and your attitude on the court represents what I think a Christian athlete should look like.
Welcome to Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus. Stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving in and through the world of sports and each of our lives. Stories of His Glory podcast is grateful to Copper Dog Waffles and Coffee for their support of FCA and youth athletics. Copper Dog is located on historic Main Street in Mandan and has the best gourmet waffles and custom coffee drinks. When you go, try my favorite, the Rookie, and definitely try pairing it with one of their amazing coffees. Stop in today for a unique experience, something unlike anything else you'll see in North Dakota. Sweet or savory, there's something for everyone at Copper Dog in Mandan.
Welcome to today's episode of Stories of His Glory. I'm your host, Ryan Jungling, and today I have the privilege of sitting down with Randy Jensen, veteran FCA staff in Minnesota. Randy, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, Ryan, great to be with you, and I'm a little bit nervous but excited just to talk about sports and faith and God's faithfulness.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to get you on a call, and we live quite a ways away from each other. We see each other in person a decent amount, but just to see this office, which maybe it'll come up later too, but as we jump on Zoom calls, it's always a treat to be on a Zoom call with Randy because you never know what's going to happen. We'll start here today. We minister with FCA, and in the world of athletics, that's the culture that we live in, is the culture of athletics. But there's a lot of like labels that are used in the sports world. Some of them are really great, captain or a champion or an all-star or MVP. Some of them sometimes are not so great, but oftentimes they become a big part of someone's identity. So for you, Randy, when you're going to tell somebody who you are, how do you describe yourself, or what do you tell them?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm a basketball official, and when I travel in a car to high school games, I ask other guys, so what do you do? Tell me a little bit about yourself and your background, your family. And then eventually it comes back to me, and then they say, well, what about you? And my response today is that I usually say I'm an ambassador in sports. And an ambassador is somebody that represents somebody to others. And so I'm an ambassador on behalf of God to represent the reality of what it means to live by faith and do that in the arena of sport. And so it's a passion of mine to help coaches and athletes understand how do we navigate living out our Christian life in the arena of sport. So that's very different than I have had all those labels growing up. Yeah. And being a competitor and being a champion, I've been called a non-golfer, even though I like to golf, but I've been told you're not really a golfer. And I've been a champion in other ways, but always it's been a journey of trying to figure out how do you wrap around this identity and relate it to your Christian faith.
Yeah. Oh, that's super powerful. The idea of an ambassador that's sent out from somewhere to some other place, and the culture of sport, like you're sent into a new area. And I just think how important it is that people that are called and comfortable in the world of sport, right? How God uses that passion in us to reach people in a culture that we know, right? Because I think growing up, once you go back to your sport experience, maybe, what was sport like in the life of Randy growing up?
Well, your audience, you said I've been around a long time, but they have to understand I just turned 68. So when I talk about growing up, it's back in the 1960s where sport looked very different than it does today, right? Kids today are going out as kindergartners and playing in leagues and going to clinics. In my era, we were the kind of the, I don't want to say gym rats, because that assumes you're going in a gym. We spent most of our summers out in this field with long grass that became our stadium for competition. And yeah, some days we're playing baseball there with only six people, and you can only play in left field. You only play half the field. You know, you have to bat opposite handed, or you're going to break a window in somebody else's house. And so that was our field. I've gone back there over the years and thought, this is ridiculous. But to us, that was our playground. Mm-hmm. And we'd play baseball every day. And then the Catholic Church had a basketball hoop. And so we'd play basketball there. And we'd go out and play football games on Saturday, you know, after the Friday night high school football game. And then we'd all meet at a field, at our field, and we'd play baseball or football. And so it was just different. We didn't have coaches. I didn't have a coach till I was in sixth grade. We just made up our game. Sometimes we couldn't even pick teams, and we went away mad. And my mom would say, get back out there, get on your bike, reconcile with your buddies, and go play ball, you know. And so it's a different era. We learned how to play fair, how to get along with each other and celebrate fun little things. And so a completely different era than today. And so it's interesting to now navigate this world where we're heavily coached. We kind of take this adult model of sport and throw it on little kids and think that that's right. And sometimes I'm really thankful that we could just go out and play, make up our own rules and play our own little games. And so anyway, I was privileged with that. And then eventually getting into school sports, I loved it. Whatever the season was is what I played. And we didn't play tennis, but we made up games on the tennis court under the lights at night. We just made up goofy games, you know. And so I've always loved that creativity about sport. But eventually, as I got more competitive, I figured out what I was good at, started playing those. I realized real quickly that sports became my identity. It was who I am. If you'd asked me at 10 years old who you are, I would have said I'm a basketball player. And later, I was a track athlete. I was a cross-country runner, you know, just whatever that was. I was an athlete. And so my life was shaped around that. And that had an impact with me that unfortunately bled over into my faith. I grew up in a Christian home, went to church, but faith to me was still about trying to get the approval of people, just like as an athlete. I wanted the approval of my coaches. As a student, I wanted the approval of my teachers. And then as a Christian, I almost wanted the approval of God. Am I good enough to make your team? And so it wasn't until my junior year, as I thankfully through the church, I went to a Bible camp. And there I heard a gospel message in a way I'd never heard before about having a personal relationship with Jesus, led by a bunch of college students who were sharing with us at a campfire. And I still remember that night, that place, and walking up to a little chapel on the hill and meeting with one of these college people, and just saying, God, I don't want to try to please you because I know I'm not good enough. And it's a never-ending failure. And so now I realize that God would forgive me and went to the cross for my sins. And now he invites me into a relationship, and now I can be a part of God's team. And so that was a radical change and a transformation in my life to now start reshaping my identity. Now I realize that basketball and football and baseball and track, those were things I did, but it wasn't who I was. And now I'm a follower of Jesus who wants to honor God the way I compete. But now I had to figure out how to do that. And that's where FCA entered into my life as a high school athlete. And I started that journey.
So you're in high school, you realize that we can't do enough good. We can't earn it. How did that, was it a pretty immediate impact on your view of sport? Was it something that took a while as you started to maybe strip away Randy identity in performance to Randy, a loved son of God?
Yeah. I am so thankful for the people that God has put into my path. One of those was my ninth grade math teacher, Grady Rosberg, who was also the head football coach, legendary in Minnesota for small school, successful football. He happened to go to the same church that we went to. And I saw Grady then as a math teacher, as a person in our church, as a very influential coach. But Grady started to take an interest in me as a young person and invited me to help be the one that would start FCA. And I even said, well, why me? And he said, because people respect you. Again, because I'm a good person, because I'm a good athlete, because I'm a good student. I went to a wedding of a young man a few years ago, and it was the son of a peer of mine in high school. And he introduced me to one of his adult kids and said, Randy, you remember I mentioned a guy named Randy and Margo, his wife. He said, Randy is the guy that helped me get through my math classes and my history classes. I mean, I kind of wanted to help other students succeed. Yeah. And so I would kind of even mentor them. I'd come alongside. And Grady saw that in me and saw leadership in me that I don't think I even saw in myself. I wasn't that confident as a person. And he saw that and knew that he was going to develop that in me through FCA. And the blessing was that we got into God's word, but he always related it to sport. He connected the stories and analogies to sport and then built that out on who we're becoming as young men or young women of faith, but living that out in sport. So yeah, it was definitely a journey to kind of start changing my mindset of why I played, what my goals were, what I would value. I still wanted to win. You know, I wanted to be seen as a good athlete, but it started to merge that it was more valuable for me to see that, you know what, I want to be known now as a follower of Jesus. And I'm young and I'm growing, but that made as much sense, or it valued that as much as it now being a good athlete. And so that just began this journey of trying to seek out God and then ultimately playing the way he would want me to play. And I'm still wrestling with that on the pickleball court or as a basketball official. You know, it's still that tension of competing and being in that world, but doing it in a way that's still honoring and is biblically centered.
Yeah. So you got involved really early on in your high school years with FCA. What was FCA like for you as an athlete? And, you know, you kind of alluded to some of the mentorship that the football coach had on you and empowered you to use some of the gifts that you maybe didn't even know you were using. But what did FCA look like at that point?
I think one thing sports does is it creates community with people, right? I had a daughter that ran cross country. She ran on the track team. She would say she wasn't necessarily a great athlete. She loved being on the team and she loved that community. She loved training with people and just being together. And so I think for me, FCA kind of became that, a sense of community. Here's a place where we could gather people from different religious backgrounds and church denominations, but we could come together because we had a common interest in sport. And now we would connect this to this idea of what does it mean to have faith? A lot of these kids that came in high school weren't necessarily church people, or they were church but weren't living it out. And we met at FCA a lot of times in my basement. And my mom and dad used to laugh because we'd go in the basement and they'd pull up two folding chairs and sit at the top of the stairs and listen to these 20, 30 kids downstairs laughing, having fun, maybe singing a hymn and then getting involved in a Bible study and having conversation. And they were so excited about that here's a group of young people gathering together, a sense of community, but it's based on growing together in faith and being encouragement to each other. I never knew they even did that. They told me that when I was, I think, coming on staff with FCA, that they were so proud of that fact that here was a group of young people and the fact that I wanted them to come to my basement and we would host a lot of meetings there. So I wasn't necessarily even a popular kid in high school. Popular, according to the culture, because I wasn't living the life like most of the kids were living. I wasn't into those things. And so I was never included in that. So later on, I kind of realized that I was set aside in some insignificant ways, but because I was trying to take a stand for my faith. And so obviously I wasn't invited to parties and I wasn't included to a lot of those things, which I'm thankful for probably, but you realize that if you take a stand that there's going to be some consequences with that. In this case, it's a good consequence, but people were looking at you as being different, like you said, set apart. And so you have to kind of walk that. They were still friends of mine in school, but outside. So I think that's a good thing for student athletes to learn. If you're going to choose to follow Christ, you are going to be sometimes looked down upon. And scripture says, don't let anyone look down on you because you might be young in your faith, but set an example for others in your life, in your faith, in your speech, in your purity, in your faith. I used to love to share that verse, you know, in 1 Timothy with young people to say, be proud of that. Stand firm in your faith. Stand together. You're going to need a group that you can have a team that's pursuing God and representing Him against the current that's going the other way. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that picture of the basement with your parents sitting at the top of the stairs, like a couple things that kind of stuck out to me. First of all, you know, as a dad, if in a couple years my daughter's like, hey, I'm going to have some friends over and we're going to read the Bible downstairs. Yes, please. Just the safety that your house provided for people to explore the most important things is really cool. And that it was something your parents got all on board with, which any Christian parent should be, right? Like you're going to give a safe place to read the Bible. But
and the other place we would go to our coaches, there was two coaches and we would go to their house. We'd meet at a park across the street and play Frisbee for a while. And then we'd come into their house. And I figured out that you walk into that room and they're little kids. My FCA coach, his son, who was just a little kid when I was there, he's now been the head football coach at Hutch. They've only had two coaches in 50 years. They've named the football field after this father and son. Andy remembers me coming into their home as a high school athlete. He's a little six-year-old kid, you know, and they would know that we're coming there to be with his dad, coach, to learn about God. And so he said that was impressionable for him. And I knew that some of my friends that came from broken homes, homes that were dysfunctional, and now you're coming into a home where mom is there, mom's made us cookies, you know, she's kissing her kids goodnight for bed. I mean, they could come into an environment that was loving and caring. That might have been one of the first times they saw that modeled for them. And so I knew, and I've always known then for all these years, that can be powerful for a coach to invite these athletes into your home and let your kids be there because you're dad. And that's a cool way to model because unfortunately, a lot of them don't have good homes that they're in. And so now they get a taste of what this home could be like, which might help them in the future when they become a parent and stuff. So that's the one thing I'm not excited about FCA when we've gone into the schools and we meet in the school. There's a lot of huge advantages to that.
Yep.
In my reference, the disadvantage is not going into that home of that coach and seeing their family, letting their kids, they'd play with us, you know, go sit on our laps. We're playing games with them. You know, we could love on their kids in really fun ways. So there's a unique element that happened there in a home environment that meeting at a school we miss, but there's other great advantages. And I understand that, but. Yeah, I was so blessed. One of those coaches just passed away this last fall. I went to his wedding or to his funeral, and it was really cool to see a whole bunch of my old teachers and coaches. One of them even said, we wondered if Randy Jensen would show up because they knew that that coach had had a big influence in my life spiritually through FCA. And they even talked about that in the funeral, that he helped start FCA at that high school. He was a wrestling coach and became the AD. And so, relationships matter even over the years. And I've still gone out and golfed with those guys in their 80s, you know, just to say you guys made such an impact in my life. You know, I just can't thank you enough. So,
Yeah. Wow. That's like the, you know, we talk about it a lot, the impact of a coach and our entire to and through the coach, like mantra and motto. And like, it's so important because of the impact that coaches have in a community. But every time I get to hear a story like what you just shared, that's like that's the reason why we have strategies like that. And that's the reason why we emphasize it, is because there's a real life example, and across the country, I'm sure hundreds of thousands of them, where a coach has had an impact on an athlete in a way that guides that athlete for all of eternity, right? Not for the rest of their life, but helps to introduce them to Christ. And that's super powerful, super powerful.
Yeah.
And I do that, you know, when I'm a high school official, if I'm the lead official, when I do my pregame in the center court with the captains and I say blah, 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 and go warm up, and I grab the two coaches and I always say, I want to thank you for the influence that you're having as a coach on these young athletes. We're going to get involved in a competitive game. You're probably going to yell at us. You're not going to like all the calls we make. But I want to start with the premise that ultimately it's more about your influence in shaping the lives of these young people through this game that we're going to play. Now, I'm trying to speak a truth into them that always isn't a reality, but I want to remind them that that's their calling, or should be, that they're here to impact the lives of these people, even through adversity, you know? And so as I watch a game, I'm always, even with a whistle in my mouth, I'm watching to see what's happening, the interaction with coaches and athletes, the interaction with athletes with each other, and seeing if I can find examples of beauty. I've even asked a couple athletes on a dead ball, hey, 12, are you a Christian? And they kind of look at me and they're like, why? And I said, because your behavior and your attitude on the court represents what I think a Christian athlete should look like. I don't get to that very often, but every once in a while, right, I'm hoping that they have figured this out, that their identity and purpose of sport is bigger than just the score on the board. So at the end of the game. So I love to see that when that's happening and whatever. So,
yeah, that's super, super good. I also officiate, and I don't do basketball, but I've done football now for 16 or 17 years. And, you know, there's some really cool relationships that can happen between a coach and a referee, and just the conversations that you can sometimes have. And I just think it's really cool that you lead out with that, reminding people of their influence, because all coaches have influence. Is it geared in the right direction? That's the question, right? But yeah, that's super powerful. So you, after high school, you ended up competing at Augsburg, I think. And were you still involved in FCA at Augsburg? Was that something that
Augsburg that in Minneapolis was at that time a NAIA school, became a Division III school, had some faith into it, which I would argue that there really wasn't. It's a religious type thing, but not really a Christian school at all, but it had affiliations. I went there because the head coach, they were very successful. My high school basketball team was not. And I kind of wanted to go and play on a winning team and a program like that. So, but what drew me there was the head coach was very involved in FCA, and he knew that about me. And so he said, Randy, you're the kind of athlete we would love to have come and play for this program. I'm not sure if you'll ever start here, but you could have an impact on our team. And so that had a lot of influence with me, knowing he was the FCA advisor there at Augsburg. And so I kind of chose there to go for that reason. He was only there 2 years, and then he went up to North Dakota State University and became NDSU's head basketball coach for a number of years. He still lives up there and retired there. But that was influential. And the best memory, Ryan, I had with Coach Iniger was that my sophomore year, he did a lot of speaking in the off season at like high school athletic banquets or father-son church events. And he invited me to come to a high school athletic banquet at the year end in the spring. And he was going to be their speaker. I don't even know if people do that today, but back in those days they did. And he said, I like to bring one of my teammate or one of our players to come and just talk about their experience of being a college athlete. And then he would give some kind of a motivational talk to these athletes and seniors. And I asked him, I said, Coach, would you care if I talked about my faith? And he paused and he said, nobody's ever done that. But he knew who I was. He had been helping me because I was leading the FCA starting my sophomore year at Augsburg. And so he said, I think you'll be fine. I can't say that. I can't get away with that. But he said, you could. And so I won't go into, but I talked about, what does it mean? I said, I've got a friend that's at every game I play. And he's always there to support me and encourage me. And even when I don't play well, whatever, he's there to pick me up. You know, and I said, I wish all of you had a friend like that. And my friend is Jesus. And he has reshaped the way I think about sport and knowing that I don't play just to please him or men, but I want to honor him. And he's shaping my character and helping me to be a man that wants to be a great teammate. I want to be a good competitor who respects my opponents, but ultimately I want to play in a way that will bring a smile to the Lord and just say you're playing well to honor me in that. And so I shared that message, and Randy, he came to me after and said, Ryan, on the way drive home, he said, Randy, I've never brought an athlete with me a second time before, but I think you and I have something in common, and I'm wondering if you'd go out with me in the future, because I love the fact that you bring in faith in a way that I can't. And yeah. Unfortunately, within a month after that, he was recruited at NDSU, and he left, so we never got to do it a second time. But I'm glad I had the courage to ask to do that,
yeah,
and say something that might be lasting. Again, that was that mindset of I want to become an ambassador for Christ in sport. So that was already at play in my life. Even at that young age, I was probably 19, 20 years old. But I thought I want to leave that message with these young athletes. And so that was just powerful for me. And we brought in a new coach who was kind of a wild guy, very successful in Wisconsin. And he met with me. And when he met with me, he said, Randy, I've heard about you. And I thought, oh, what does that mean? I'm just sitting on the bench. I don't even play. But he said, I know that you're a Christian athlete. And I want you to know, this is so amazing to me, Ryan. He says, I'm not where you're at in a faith level, but someday I hope to be. But I need you to be a leader on our team and pray with our team before every game and be an example to help our guys play hard, to be good teammates. And I just want you to be a positive influence. And I view that with extreme value. And I, again, there, my high school coach saw leadership in me. Now my college coach, who doesn't even hardly know me, but right, heard about what I was trying to live for. And to me, that was just continuing to build kind of a confidence. Again, I wasn't really that confident of a person. I sometimes had a low self-image, but they were both saying to me, you matter. And it doesn't have to be that you're the best player, but you're a valuable part of this team. And so, Reese, that meant so much to me. And the cool thing is, 20-some years later, when us players all turned 50, we invited Reese to come back and play golf together and spend a couple days with a bunch of us guys from that team. Some things happened, and I was uncomfortable with the conversations that were going on, the stories these athletes were talking about, that I was naive to what was actually happening. And I just felt like I needed to leave. And I dismissed myself and I said, guys, I'm going to go. And Coach chased me into the parking lot. And he said, Randy, I wanted you to know something. He repeated the story I just shared with you. He's coached thousands of kids. Why would he even remember me? But he said, I want you to know that this last year, and after three divorces, I married a woman who's a person of faith, and I've asked Jesus to be a part of my life now, and I'm pursuing God. And I knew that that would encourage you. And so I went home that day, ordered him an FCA coach's Bible, and wrote something in the inside cover and sent it to him. And he was almost 70 years old at that time, but God had been pursuing him. And now he made a commitment of faith, and I just felt like it was a divine appointment that God let me interact with him, and he could tell me that story. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do, right? Oh. See lives be transformed. Sometimes it happens right there at an event or right at a huddle meeting. Sometimes it's 30 years later that we plant seeds, and then somebody makes that choice to follow God. And so that's what all of our marks should be, right? What seeds are we planting? We never know. You know, I would have thought the way he was as a coach that he was so far from where, but interesting enough, the fact that he said, I hope to someday be and have what you have, that was so powerful. And so, and that's about God. It's nothing about me, but we live it out. People watch. We're not perfect, but we're trying to just say, but we're forgiven, and God is our source of strength and joy. And so, you know, if any of our people involved in FCA, you're a huddle coach, you're an athlete, just know that the little seeds that we're doing, even as imperfect as they can be, can return an eternal reward later in life. And many of those stories we'll never hear about. But I think God just said, I wanted you to hear that your coach was watching you. He was your coach. Yeah. But you were an example to him about faith. And so I just thank God for that. And that's really cool.
Stories of His Glory is brought to you by North Dakota Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Across North Dakota, FCA is on the ground in weight rooms, huddles, and classrooms, building up bold leaders of faith through sports and scripture. Whether it's a student athlete discovering Jesus for the first time, or a coach finding strength in community, lives are being changed every season at FCA. Want to be a part of the movement? Visit fcand.org to get involved or support the mission. Now, let's get back to the story.
That is so cool. That is so amazing to think where that story started was God putting in your life the opportunity to share boldly about your faith, and to lose the guy that you were probably most fired up about for somebody that you maybe were cautious around, and to have him recognized because of what other people had said about you and what he could see in you, that you had something that he didn't have, and he understood it and he knew that he didn't have it. But then to hear the rest of the story, you know, 30 years down there, that's amazing.
And there aren't a lot of those, obviously, but it's fun to hear, because you hear a few of them, it keeps you motivated and just says God is what. In 1999, I looked up some of our past camp themes, and that theme was live it out from Ephesians 5, and it talks about being imitators of God as dearly loved children. That was my journey my whole life. How do I imitate God? And many times I fall short and I mess up and I make a mistake. I got to ask my own kids for forgiveness. I got to apologize to a coach because, you know, whatever. But we're trying to just imitate what all that looks like. And then it says, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so that's the challenge for all of us, right? Is to live a life of love, to be an imitator of God with our own children, with families, with neighbors. How do we walk that walk of faith such that other people will see there's something different about us? And some of them will come and say, what's the deal, Ryan? How can you have hope? I know you and Rachel lost a son, you know, years ago. And I'm sure there was people around you when you lost little Anders that are saying, how can you guys still have hope? Where do you still have peace? How do you, you know, how did you navigate that? I could have never done that. And yet then your faith starts to become an example to others. And, you know, that's just so powerful. And, you know, we have a little boy right now that's almost 2 years old, but was born at 23 weeks, a pound and a half. He's struggling, but he's a testimony. God has a plan. We've wrestled with the Lord. Why? Why? Yeah. This has been so hard on our kids and just everything. And yet God has a purpose, and we're trying to navigate that out. Where's our hope? Where's our joy? And as we struggle this journey, other people are watching, and they're just saying, where does that come from? It's not from us. It's that God lives in us. And if we have any peace, if we have any hope, we're trusting in Him, that will overflow in our life because of who He is, not from anything from us. And so now you begin this idea of let's reflect and let God get the attention. And my daughter's even been invited into the NICU department to come and talk to families because the NICU nurses saw her strength, her hope, her joy, her love, her peace. They didn't understand it.
Yeah.
But they said, somehow could you come back? We have a family here that's just distraught. And it's so powerful. I tell my daughter, I said, Annalisa, that's why you have little Cooper, because now your faith is shining strong. You're getting a chance to point to God. And we're watching that because of the life of this little one who God loves. We love this little Cooper, but it's not an easy journey, but there's a purpose for it. Even if we don't quite fully understand it, we didn't sign up for it. I didn't volunteer. Neither did my daughter,
but
they're walking through it and to the glory of God. So it's so fun.
Yeah.
When I met you and we talked and I know you first shared that story, I just thought I can only imagine the lives that you guys impacted despite an incredible pain, and it's unfathomable, but God uses those things for good.
Yeah.
And so we need to be obedient and say, I don't understand, but I'm going to keep walking because you're faithful. So,
yeah, the reality that God is good in all of it. And I think of, there was a nurse that was in the PICU for us with Anders, and she was there. I think she was supposed to be there the first day, and he was in the hospital for 3 days. She was supposed to be there the first day, but she picked up a shift the next day. And then picked up a shift his last day. And at some point during that last day, she called me out into the hallway and just said, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know how you guys are the way you are. And I was like, I can tell you. I'll lay it out. And I just think of the power of, like you were talking about with your daughter, to just gotta trust you. I know you're good. And whatever happens, God, you're still going to be good.
Yeah.
And that right there is like full faith that God is everything that He says He is.
Yeah.
And just the power of that. And I know that we get that opportunity as followers of Christ to reflect that. And praise God that sometimes we actually think about that and let it change how we react to things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and there's that community of people around. My daughter was interviewed on a local TV station. They did a big story on them because of something different. And she just said, I have a loving family. I have a faith community that's all surrounding me and supporting me. My wife has been the hugest blessing, Lisa, in my life, has been my rock and my partner and, you know, in everything. And we have such a great relationship and we trust each other. You know, we love each other. We try to model that for our kids who are all seeking to follow the Lord now with their own families and try to stay close with that community. And yet, you know, my wife lost both of her parents in the last year and a half, and how she had to navigate that. And then Cooper comes along and she's trying to balance all that and yet loving on our daughter. And she's now, I asked her to quit her other job because I said, God has another job for you right now. And that's taking care of your aging parents. That's helping to step in with our daughter and her husband and taking care of their 4-year-old or little Cooper, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But we as a team, and I'm just so grateful to have Lisa as my partner in things in life and just to know that she's got my back and I've got her back, and we understand, we give a lot of grace to each other, and yet we just enjoy being together too. And so it's such a blessing to have that kind of a home, and now watching even our kids understand the value of that and having a strong home and having faith. And so I don't know where we'd be if we didn't have each other and didn't have the Lord. You know, it would not be it wouldn't be a great life, but it's different.
And you are just somebody that just overflows with joy all the time. You know, I kind of had mentioned the Zoom calls earlier, whatever. Like, it's just, it's something that I've learned about you over the last 3 years. But, you know, maybe to connect two bookends that we've been kind of building over the course of this story, you were really involved in FCA in college, and that has not stopped. That has not stopped. I think with all of this story, I mean, you've been on staff for, this is your 46th year on staff. I'm sure I remember down at Real Time last time, you know, you stood on the stage with some of the legends on staff with FCA, and there's just a tremendous amount of respect that people have for you, and you've been a really big part of the team for a long time, especially in the Northland and in Minnesota, just tremendous impact. But I guess, like, what, obviously FCA's impact on your life in high school and college contributed to that. But, you know, obviously you have this missional heart to reach coaches and athletes, to be an ambassador for Christ in the world of sports. So, like, a whole career with FCA. I don't even know the question, to be honest, because
and my family, you know, they grew up going to area rallies and coming with me to huddle meetings and going to summer camps. When they were adults, I apologized to them that we didn't take many vacations. And they said, "Dad, we got to go to this college and eat college buffet food and hang out with college kids," because they were the kids of the staff guy, and they loved on them, and just, you know, they had such incredible experiences, and going to the chapels and the worship and the goofy skits that were done, and then speakers. It was cool because they just saw it. It became a life. For me, it wasn't a job. They just said, "That's who Dad is. Dad's an ambassador in sport." They wouldn't say that, but that's what they saw. I love sports. I love people. I want to see people's lives transformed so they can experience who God is and then walk that out. You know, we've had three or four homes, and realtors always say, location, location, location. Most important things, right? I say in FCA, it's relationships, relationships. The treasure that I have, I don't have a big bank account for my retirement account, but the eternal rewards and the investment that God has allowed me to make in the lives of people, it's so fun to me. I was at a camp last summer, and a dad walked up, found me. I remembered who he was, thankfully. He's now a high school coach. He's bringing his junior high and high school kid, because they're going to be at the camp. And he says, "Hey, I want you to meet this guy. He was a guy at a sports camp when I went to Indiana to a basketball camp, and he was the song leader and the director with the cuddle leaders." These kids could have cared less. Yeah. "Dad, another story, whatever." But this coach is like, this guy was a part of FCA that helped me find Christ. And now he's leading an FCA, helping to lead a huddle, a coach's huddle. And God just let me be a part of his journey. And it was, you know, I just kind of walked away and I thought, that's amazing. And so it's just been such an incredible honor. I try to help younger staff say, I've worked with thousands of coaches. So you don't always make a great connection with everybody, and some don't want what we're offering, right? So you move on, and that's okay. You still try to be an encouragement to them. But if I go places and I run out, that is such a blessing. And I'm a hugger, and you know, I'm sure other staff look at me and I'm at the AD conference or the baseball coaches clinic or something, and all of a sudden the coach will come up and hug me, and you know, because we had deep connections, you know, you did some life together and you cared about them. And to me, that's the legacy that I will always treasure. If I made a little bit of difference in your life to encourage you to turn and pursue God in a more intentional way, that was my great honor. And I thank God for that opportunity to do that and just point them in the right direction and encourage them in that journey. And so, to this day, I think about in Minnesota, when I used to travel the state, we only had two staff literally in the region, Wisconsin, South Dakota, they didn't even have staff at the time. So I would bleed over into Wisconsin or South Dakota a little bit if need be, or I would go with one of these Viking athletes to Sioux Falls or to, you know, Minot, you want to take a road trip with me? I'm like, okay. And they would go speak and, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, and then they would introduce me. Hey, here's a guy that works for FCA. If you want to do something for young people in your community, this is the best organization I know that could bring sports to people that have an interest, and they do it through sports, or bring faith to people. You know, to me, it's all about relationships and being authentic, yeah. being real, being honest. We've had our struggles through the years and with finances and not getting paid months. And, you know, and I was a state director for a few years and was asked to step away, and it crushed me. But God was faithful, and God knew my heart. And literally, I went that day. I had a scheduled meeting to a dear friend coach about an hour away. And I went there and I said, I'm not going to cancel that meeting. And I showed up at his doorstep, and he opened the door and he saw that I had tears in my eyes. And he hugged me and he said, come in, let's talk. And he ministered to me. And I have those kinds of memories of people that have invested in my life, you know, even though my job as the FCA guy was to minister to them, but many times they ministered to me. And so, you know, those kinds of stories all over Minnesota when I would go, and the homes I could stay in. I never stayed in a hotel. I want to stay in your home so I can meet your kids. And I pull out a couple of magic tricks and some fun things. And people still talk about that 40 years later. My kids say, yeah, Randy, he brought that little Rocky squirrel guy into our house. Just have fun and love on their kids and, you know, and have dinner with them and their wife. You know, I just, what an incredible treasure that was. And, you know, I'm just so blessed. As we add staff and we shrink to grow, staff have smaller areas, they're probably not going to have those experiences where you go and stay overnight in a coach's house and you just hang out with them and get to know them and do whatever. So I've lived a different era of FCA. I'm excited where we're at. So excited for people like you that have a lot more talent and ability than guys like me, but I was able to pioneer some old days in the old times, but I'm excited about the trajectory that we're on, the new staff that are now leading the way. And I'm just so encouraged. I always felt like when my day comes to walk away, I hope it's going to be in a good place and going to get stronger. And we are 100% there. And I love our mentality of discipleship. And I'm not a big fan, as you know, you'll laugh, about technology. And, you know, so I drag my heels and try to come along. But even with technology, I say, you know what? It's still going to be about relationships. I kind of guarantee you, nobody's going to come hug you 20 years later because you've been texting them. Go show up, have a conversation. Yep. Go play pickleball in the summer. Take them golf and go to a college game and just hang out with them, you know. Invite them to your house for dinner with their family and love on them and let them see Christ in you. I mean, it's old school, and it's relationships.
For sure.
So we're gonna keep doing that, and we'll do that until the Lord comes back home. So
Yeah. That's just gold. All of that stuff is just gold. And I can just like you and one other person in Minnesota, I can just picture that you need to go up way up north or something like that. And we're going to make it a trip. It's going to be a long trip. We're going to hang out at somebody's house, and it maybe makes a little bit of sense. I was on a call with a staff person in South Dakota a few months back, and all of a sudden your head appeared in the background. And, you know, that I think is really powerful to see that. I got like two questions on the FCA side of things. What's your favorite part of FCA outside? I'm going to tell you, you can't answer because it's been pretty clear, the one-on-one relationship with building with people. But outside of like the daily, like investing in lives of individual coaches, what's your favorite part?
So that's a really good question. I wish you had emailed that to me a couple of days ago. You know, I think organizationally, it's when I was dating my wife and my dad, we went and met my parents, and my dad told Lisa at the time, you're never going to have a lot of money if you marry Randy, but your life will be an adventure, and you're going to be involved in something that's purposeful. And I could have been a math teacher, which would have been fun, and that could have had some significance to it for sure. I could have been an accountant because I was a math person. That would have been totally insignificant in an eternal way, right? But I maybe would have made money. I love the fact that FCA allows us to be a part of a mission that is for eternity. It matters, right? We can be involved in a lot of things, even athletics, but ultimately it doesn't matter unless you do it in a way that brings significance to why you're doing it. And so to be a part of an FCA team, I've seen so many people leave staff, Ryan, because they don't want to do things the FCA way. They got a different mindset, and so they don't like it, so they just go out and do their own stuff. I love being a part of a team. And I love being a part of a mission that's way bigger than I am. Yeah. And I get to be a part of this team that we serve together. That's, you know, part of real time when we go to meet as a staff with thousands of people and spouses is exciting. It's overwhelming for me because I started FCA with 50 people in the country. 50. My first national staff meeting was 50 people around a flagpole in Marshall, Indiana.
Wow. Wow.
And now we have 50 plus just in Minnesota, over 3,000, you know, globally. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. But on the other side, I literally, when we gather together as a team, when we gather together for our region, and I look at this room full of people, and saying these people are all out there serving together with this common goal to make disciples who could make disciples within this field of sport and bring the gospel into a culture that's dying and dark and needs hope and needs a light, needs a new purpose. And we can bring that into that arena. You know, what does it look like for the kingdom of God to invade the arena of sport, as you've heard people say before? And so to me, it's so cool to be a part of something that has a lasting, my name will be insignificant. People won't remember that, but people are going to remember that I was a part of every time I'm someplace. Oh, FCA, I've heard of that. I was involved in California. I was there. I went to this. I mean, it's just this movement that is trying to move the kingdom of God forward. And his hand has been on us. The organization isn't perfect and we've made mistakes and whatever, but it keeps pressing on. And God just says, keep being faithful and follow the ways that I have. I'm excited that we have this specific plan now out of our E3 strategy of making disciples and seeing personal transformation in the lives of people and then empowering them to go and multiply in a public sense.
For sure.
And how we define FCA and personal growth and change, and now say, go tell the story. Yeah. One of my mom and dad's favorite hymns, I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. And that's the gospel. It never gets old. We need to love to tell the story. That should be our mission. And are we bold to want to do that? Wherever it is, let's be that picketer. We're not going to raise a banner or a flag, but we do it by the way we live our lives and we interact with people. And so what a privilege to be a part of a missional movement. I just feel honored and blessed. Yeah,
for sure. And we are, as a staff, you know, like 50 people at the beginning of your FCA career, 50 people, and now there's over 50 in Minnesota. And to think, like, when we have boot camp for support raising training, there's typically 50 or more people, and that's held like 9-10 times a year. And there's like this movement. And I know as a Northland staff, we are so blessed to have you as one of the people that is leading the way. And you brought up the not comfortability with technology, and that's part of the thing that is pretty exciting to me. But what I think is really cool is Randy, you have a heart that is the heart of a teacher and a shepherd. And if something can help, if it's a Zoom call with a coach that can help to make better relationships, like, you're all in. And you model that in such a cool way. I think it's really easy for people to follow that because they see it modeled. They see the heart of somebody who is a lifelong learner so that other people can hear about Jesus. And so that's been just a blessing that I've gotten to witness over the last 3 years. And I do want to conclude with setting up a story that I've heard needs to be told. And I don't know this story, so I don't know. I think this will be where we end it after this, but
it's almost sacrilegious to go into that from here, you know.
Okay.
I want to say another scripture that I have, you know, as I conclude the other thought, and then I'll tell you the story quickly. I thought of it last night, in the middle of the night. It just popped up, and I thought, wow, I haven't thought about that verse for a long time. I'm going to go speak at a bunch of second-grade league basketball this Saturday. But they want every halftime, you get 3 minutes to talk to the adults, parents.
Yep.
And so I'm going to talk about this verse just briefly, because I'm going to say, you see a game, you got these first graders, second grade, what your eyes are seeing. I'm going to challenge them. What are you looking for? What are you watching? And I'm going to say, as a referee, I watch the game. I have over 1,000 rules, notes, penalties, definitions that I have to process. So when you're a parent and you say, watch the traveling, I'm like, you go read the rule book that I have to go. What are you looking at? And why are you looking at me in a call? You ought to be looking at your son or daughter and ways you can encourage them. And so I'm going to say, that's your role. Quit talking to me. I know way more. I'm not going to say this, but anyway, watch what they're doing. Celebrate that. Have good conversations with your kid when you take them home. But I'm going to say, you know what? That's where your eyes should be. And talking about Second Chronicles says, for the eyes of the Lord, God's eyes are on us. And they range throughout the whole earth. That includes this gym, by the way, right? That includes this football field. That includes your backyard, whatever. Ranging throughout the whole earth to show his strength in the hearts of those who are fully committed to him.
Yeah.
And to say, you know what, your mission, my encouragement to you is be careful where you're at, what your eyes are seeing. Look for the beauty in sport. Look for ways to encourage your kids. Look for ways to not be critical of officials. We're just out there trying to help the game. But know that God's eyes are looking, and he wants to show his strength through you as you are fully committed to him. And that's what we're about. The gospel is about, what does it mean to be fully committed in our faith to him? And so I just want to encourage people with that last meaningful, you can edit now the rest of this story out in your final version. But we had Tom Landry come in for a banquet. We used to do an annual fundraising banquet, sell tables, tickets, you know, have a speaker come in, give athlete testimonies. What are they called now? Victory dinners or things like that. Yeah. But I don't think you bring in outside speakers anymore, do we?
Some do, yeah.
Some do. So anyway, we would bring in different athletes and go, well, Tom Landry was a big deal. This was back in the 1980s, and, you know, he's the guy in all of NFL football. Classic with what? His hat, right?
Yep.
His hat. Everybody knows that. You can see the back of his profile because you know the hat, and that's Coach Tom Landry. Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yep.
We invite him to come in, and I'm, you know, 25 years old. I love to do skits. Every time we'd go to a huddle, we would do a crazy skits, and I had a box full of hats and different costumes. And this is the simple day, not funny videos online. This is just good old-fashioned. I'm going to teach you writing. You're going to be this guy, and I don't want to do that. No, you will. We'll do a skit. People will laugh. They'll think we're goofy. So I had a hat box, and one of my hats was that same kind of a hat of Tom Landry.
Fedora,
the fedora. And so he speaks that night, and then the state director at the time says, Randy, we have a rental car. Would you go pick up Coach Landry in the morning, bring him to this hospital in downtown Minneapolis? He's speaking at a breakfast there tomorrow morning, and then you have to bring him to the airport. So just hang out in the parking lot. You don't get to go to the breakfast, but you have to chauffeur him there. So I thought, great, that's a cool honor. So I got to know Coach just briefly. And then at the end, I'd say, hey, Coach, I'm going to pick you up at 6 o'clock or whatever. I'll meet you outside the lobby. And so that night, as I went home, my goofy silliness thought, I've got his fedora hat. I'm going to play a trick on him. Now, he's a legendary coach, right? Hall of Fame. I'm just a 25-year-old ordinary kid working with FCA. But I thought, I'm starting to become a little more comfortable in my skin. And I thought, I'm going to do something fun. So I bring my fedora hat and I've got it hidden. And this worked out perfectly. He gets into the car. We drive to the hospital. He's going to go speak. And he takes off his hat and lays it on the seat. He says, I'm going to leave this here. It's warm outside. So he walks in. And I'm going, oh, Lord God, thank you. He set this up perfectly. So I take his fedora, put it in the back seat, and I take mine and put it on the front seat. So an hour and a half later, he comes out, and I pull the car up, and he's getting to be older. So he has to do like I do now. You turn. You know, you can't just put your feet in first. You got to turn and sit on the seat and then turn. So he sits down, and I slide my hat underneath his seat. And he sits down on my hat. And he realized right away he sat on a hat, and he gets back up and he gets out of the car. And then he realizes it's not his hat. It's another old goofy hat. And this is what he said. Oh, Randy. That's all he said. Oh, Randy. And so I take my hat out. I said, your hat's right here, coach. And I said, I just have one question. Would you autograph the hat? So you can barely see it on now. It's just faded away, but yeah. It's still autographed there, Coach Tom Landry. And as I'm going to the airport, he said, you had a lot of courage to play that practical joke on me. He said, most people don't do that. And I said, That's okay. That's who I am. And I hope it's not offensive. And he goes, oh, I think it's hilarious. So He probably for sure forgot my name within 2 days, but he probably told that story. This guy with FCA had me sit on a hat as a practical joke. So He was pretty stoked, right? He didn't smile a lot, but
yeah.
He had a big smile on his face that day. So anyway.
Oh, I mean, I think that's a great way to end it because it is such a Randy thing. Like, I'm not shocked by that at all. And I just think it's earlier today you were talking about bringing joy and that being a really big part of your life and what God's gifted you at and called you to do. That's a picture perfect example that somebody who is a legend in coaching circles. Also has tremendous influence in FCA.
Yeah, legend in FCA for sure.
And the kingdom, and to be like, this is going to be fun. And I just think that's so great, Randy. I've just really enjoyed, hearing your stories and just hearing you share your heart. So thank you so much. This has been such a great time.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, Ryan, and the baton is being passed. I was a track athlete, ran the quarter mile relay, loved handing off the baton, right? I'm dying. And I was so excited to be able to give you the baton and let that runner run. And now that's what I'm getting close to doing. We're seeing the baton pass to the next generation of staff people who are going to run the race that God has set out for us. And so We've got new energies, new runners, and you are such a big part of that. And I'm so blessed on our friendship and know that all these new staff that are coming, that so fun to say we're a team running a race together for the kingdom of God.
Yep. And that baton's been being passed off for 2,000 years, and it's going to keep going.
Yeah, 100%.
Praise God for that.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it, and be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him.